Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you this week to talk about a topic that we have spoken about many times and to announce some exciting news about taking this topic a bit further, and that is underwriting. Underwriting is the process by which we take all of the knowledge and data that we have about a potential acquisition or an asset we already own. We'll talk about that today as well. And we put it into a modeling software that allows us to then forecast performance and to test that performance, to stress test it, to see if the strategy we have makes sense for that particular asset. We're going to talk about that a little bit today, but we're also going to talk about an upcoming webinar we have on underwriting. And the exciting piece of that is we are, for the first time ever, sharing an underwriting tool that you can use to gain experience with this type of planning. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. More importantly, if you have any interest at all in underwriting, and I mean any interest, you'll want to go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com and register for our upcoming session on underwriting. It's going to be on April 18th. It'll be 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. in the East, and 11 a.m. out West. And if you are unable to attend at that time, don't worry about it. Register anyway. And this is the big reason why. If you are registered, you will receive not only copies of the materials we're going to walk through and so on, but you're going to receive an underwriting model. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we go through this today. Okay, so let's dive in, and let's start first with just what underwriting is so that we all are kind of starting from the same place. Underwriting is a term people may have heard like about loans, right? That there's an underwriter on a loan or insurance underwriters. Let's not get ourselves confused. Let's set all that aside. What we're talking about is I'm thinking about buying a piece of property. When I'm looking at buying it, I'm going to say, gee, it's been generating this much revenue and have these kind of expenses. So there's been this type of operating profit. How do I think I'm going to operate it? I think I'll have these kinds of revenues. And I think my expenses will be a little different. And I think over time, I could do this with the operating profit. That forecasting process is underwriting. And it's done using not only a tool, and that's what we're going to share with you, not only using a tool, but more importantly, using inputs. And the inputs that go into an underwrite are very critical because it's those levers, if you will, that shape the performance, or the forecasted performance, I should say, of a particular acquisition. And ultimately, that is what is going to guide decisions, not only about should I purchase this for X dollars or should I not purchase it, but probably more importantly, when I purchase it, what's my strategy for operating it? Is this going to be a heavier value add? Is it a momentum play? Is this an asset that I'm looking to hold 10 years or more? Is it an asset that I think within 5 years will meet the performance requirements that I want? When I model things out, I can see that. That's underwriting. Okay, so we've got this session coming up. Again, it's on the 18th of April, so please go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com and you can register right there. We've got this session coming up, and what we're going to do that day is we're going to go through, now we've only got an hour, but we'll do our best in that hour to go through this underwriting tool that we'll be sharing and point out the major levers that are involved in it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about those levers today. But you'll get a copy of that. Now, full disclosure, what we're sharing is not the underwrite that we use today. Our current underwrite, like I think everyone's underwrite out there, is a proprietary tool. And ours over the years has grown from all the things that we've learned. And it's become a very large tool, and one that we're very proud of and continually work on improving. What we are sharing is a simplified version of that that puts together an annual underwrite. It will do two things for you. One is if you're looking to just better understand the financials associated with multifamily investing, you're a passive investor, or you're thinking about working with Mara Poling or another sponsor. Understanding this underwrite can help you better understand the financials that you'll receive when you get your, you know, whether it's monthly reporting or quarterly reporting or annual reports or what have you. It'll also be valuable if you are considering making investments on your own, right? You've been thinking maybe for a while, I'm going to go buy a duplex. Well, you've probably already put something together like this. And going through this underwriting tool may give you some ideas about how you could evolve yours. That's really probably one of the biggest lessons learned around underwriting is the tools that everyone uses. There's no off-the-shelf underwriting software. And if anybody says there is, I've not seen any of any value that I would have bought. When you have an underwriting tool, you use it, and every time you use it, whether you ultimately acquire an asset or not, you learn a little bit more about, gee, I wish I could have modeled this behavior, this scenario, this market condition. And then you can add that component in. And what you end up with over time is a very complex tool. But it all starts from a simple model, and that's what we've got, and that's what we want to share, and that's what we're going to walk through with everyone. So today, I'm going to just briefly touch on some of these inputs. And then again, I would encourage you, register for the webinar. We're going to go into all this into more detail, but I want to talk today just about some of the inputs. Now, in the instance of any input that goes into our underwrites, we strive to have those inputs be data-based, data-centric, as close to factual as we can make them. Now, I don't mean that we actually have factual data and then we kind of fudge it a bit. What I mean is, if there is data we can use, historic data or actual specific data, like what our insurance costs are going to be for the first year, I might have an estimate to start with, but at some point in time, I'm going to have an actual insurance quote from a carrier, and I'm going to plug that number in. I want to use real factual data everywhere that I can. That helps protect me from ending up with a bias built into the model that I'm using to make decisions. I don't want to start out with an end in mind, an answer in mind, like, I really like this asset. I want to buy this asset. So, gee, what would the underwrite need to look like in order to get there? And you could underwrite that way and then look at the data, the inputs, and say, are those realistic? I think, and our experience has been, that's closer to a scenario that can convince you that it's a good asset. We actually would rather take the opposite approach, and that is, let's use as much data as we can, and then let's use the underwrite to find a reason not to buy the property. It might sound a little backwards, but every acquisition begins and runs all the way through its acquisition process with us continuously looking for a reason to say no thank you and to turn and walk away. And only by moving through the entirety of the process and never finding that answer that says, here's the reason to go away, do we ultimately determine that this is a good quality asset and we should complete the acquisition. So there are lots of inputs. So there's inputs around debt, right? So how much are we going to borrow? What kind of interest rate are we going to get? Is there going to be an interest-only term? Again, those are items that in the very beginning we might get a quote on. And that quote for much of that will be pretty accurate. The interest rate is what will move a little bit. And as the interest rate moves, the loan proceeds might move because they're generally going to be tied to the underwrite that the lender puts together. There'll be some forecast for expenses. So if we were buying an asset for the very first time and had no experience in a market, we'd be looking at the existing financials for that asset, and we'd be trying to maybe learn from those expenses what we might spend. That's not the scenario that we're in. That's not our situation. We've owned many, many assets. Almost always in the markets that we're active in. So we're able to go and look and say, well, this is what our payroll costs have been for that kind of asset in that market. And based on that, this is what we're going to put in our underwrite for payroll. And the same for our marketing expenses. Now, repairs and maintenance and turnover costs, those are a little more dependent upon the actual condition of the asset. So again, we'd be looking at our historical data. Utilities, we'll be looking, well, what have the utilities bills been? So what were they this last year? And it's important to look at an entire year of utilities because utilities are seasonal, right? There's more water used during certain times of the year, summertime and so on. There can be more electricity used depending upon the way the utility infrastructure is set up for that particular property. Management fees are negotiated, and so the allocation of them, the percentages, can be known. What's not known, obviously, is the revenue numbers. Taxes are a big question. We've talked about taxes quite a bit. So we want to get the very best data we can get. The historical assessments are of interest, but don't tell us what our numbers are going to be because we're very realistically going to see a reassessment after a purchase. And the rate is probably pretty stable, but it's that assessment number that we've got to do some work on. Insurance, I already mentioned insurance is something we actually get quoted. And so that's a number that we can get really solid. So we want to get those numbers really good. So if you think about all of those so far, there's not really a lot that we've come up with that we can't get pretty accurate. So where does some of the wiggle, if you will, come into an underwrite? And that is on the revenue side of the equation, right? So we need a revenue number, a total revenue number. Well, total revenue is going to be a function of the rent we collect and other income that we can generate from, fees, application fees, late fees, and other amenities that we might offer, right? Like package lockers or valet trash or things along those lines. Well, we can look at what the current other income is, and we can do some work to forecast out how we would fold in the new amenities that we want to offer. We might also see some items in other income from the trailing 12 financials that we would actually take out, right? So some properties, if they've been run less than optimally, might have a very high late fee load. Well, you want to improve the performance of the asset, and as you improve it, the late fees are going to reduce because more people will be paying on time. The vacancy issues, right? Where are we at right now? What's our strategy going forward? If our strategy going forward is to be aggressive on rents, then that likely will have an impact on the physical vacancy. If we're going to try and move vacancy, we might be doing some work with concessions. So there's some forecasting of that. And then we've got the whole issue of bad debt or write-offs, and that deals with the economic quality of the tenants. If it's a property that currently has been operated at 2.5 to 1 on income to rent ratio, and we want to operate it at 3 to 1, then we may see a brief period of time where bad debt actually goes up before it goes back down. So we've got those numbers to forecast. Those numbers are less about finding data that says this is what they have been or what they are going to be, and more about the strategy that we deploy. And so as we lay out different strategies and test them, these are inputs we would come back and move around in order to see, is it better for this particular asset to make a modest capital investment and try and keep vacancy and pardon me, vacancy low, occupancy high, and simply manage in that mode? Or is there an opportunity to move rents in a meaningful way, and it's worth the near-term impact that will have on vacancy and occupancy in order to make that happen? That all brings us to the big one, right? Which is rent. What's going to happen with rent? And that really comes from understanding not only the competitive environment, but understanding the actual asset, gathering the data that's buried inside the rent roll so that we can look and understand, well, what is the market telling us today that these units are worth? So looking at recent rental activity over the last maybe 3, 4 months, something like that. And using that data to determine what might be achievable in terms of renewal rates, renewal percentages, what we might be able to do in terms of moving rents relative to the market. And then if there were improvements that we made to units, what might that look like, and what's the time frame for that? So you've got an awful lot of activity going on, all of which can be tied back to a data source and to a specific strategy that we're employing that allows us to say this is what that looks like. The biggest input there is, by far, hands down, no doubt about it, is the purchase price. And that's one of the things that is a bit of a black box. And as we'll explain more when we have our session on the 18th, when we start with an underwrite, we will have a number in there for the purchase price. Oftentimes, it's a number the broker, the selling broker, has given us and said, oh, we think this property you could buy for $20 million. And we'll say, okay, great. We need a number in there to do the math. So we plug the $20 million in. That doesn't mean anything. As we get our inputs in and put together, we will then go back and start to move that purchase price. And as we move that purchase price, it will move a number of factors, right? It'll change our loan proceeds. It'll change the returns that we experience. It'll change the amount of overall capital that we need to invest. And as we do that, we will begin to test the limits of each of the different scenarios. And first, every scenario that we put together, we'll be able to identify essentially a target price that we would pay for that asset and a not to exceed number. And that's really critical to have that number that at which above this, it just doesn't make any sense. And we're not going to go above that number. And that for us is a hard number. So if they wanted 20 million, and the best we could get to was 19.7, then 19.7 would be our number. And if the broker came back to us through negotiations or the bidding process or whatever else they had going on and said, well, you guys are so close, 19.750 and it's yours, well, that's, we can't do that. 19.7 is all we can do. And we have walked away from deals for as little as $25,000, which might seem odd. In our experience, if you're going to go that extra 25, well, then why not go another 25? And why not go another 25? And the next thing you know, you've overpaid for an asset because you got fixated on, I want that asset, instead of, as I said in the beginning, trying to find a reason to say no. And that would be a reason to say no. They want more for this asset than we think it's worth in the current marketplace with the scenario that we would put in place for it. The other element that we use underwriting for, and that we'll spend some time on the 18th, is stress testing. So we'll go in, and when we get our basic scenario put together, we'll then take a look at a number of different factors. We want to see what the debt cover ratio is. That's the lender's going to be looking at that. We might look at debt yield. We'll definitely look at break-even occupancy. That's a number we find really valuable in terms of helping us understand the sort of safety margins we have and the performance of any asset. We'll look at what the effective leverage is over time, which helps us get a sense of when this asset may get to that sweet spot of being a candidate for a cash out refinance or a 1031 sale exchange or some other vehicle that would allow us to access the lazy equity that's in that asset. We've had many, many people when we've had these sessions before, because we've had underwriting sessions, we've had sessions about financials, we've done podcasts on this content, and it is very, very, very one, popular, and two, very, very, very common that people say, this is great. Can I see your underwrite? Can I have a copy? And the answer is always, unfortunately, no, we don't share that. And we don't share our underwriting model, our current version. So we wanted to share one with you all, though. And so we've put a model together, basically gone back some number of generations, and put together a model that we can share. And so the model that we have to share with you has an underwrite in it. It has a pro forma, which is the output that comes from that. There's a sources and uses component, which is very important because it's not just the items that I just discussed with you, but it's also, well, how much cash do I have to put in order to make this happen, what I just described? And then there's all the other inputs, and we've got all those gathered together in a manner that we think makes sense. What's really wonderful about all this, though, is this is our gift to you. Take it, do what you want to do with it. It is not a model that we would support you using to make an investment decision. This is an educational model, and it's going to have a nice big disclaimer on it that says that. If you want to make investment decisions from an underwrite, then we would encourage you to take what you might from this that you could learn and build your own underwrite, whether it's in the same tool that we're using here or building one from scratch on your own, but take what you can from learning and build your own. So if you want to have your own underwrite to actually make decisions with, this will help you get there. But for obvious reasons, we're not giving you a tool that we would suggest you just take out of the box and go use. If you are a passive investor, this is a great way to just learn more about how assets are acquired, about how we acquire assets in particular, and learn more about the financials. So when you look at a set of financials, you'll have a better sense of, I know what all is behind that number, right? So when you look at that gross rent number, oh, I know where that number comes from. And when I see the forecast is it's going to move like this, that I have a better understanding of what that means. So we think there's a lot of value for everyone in this. And as I said, it's been one of the most popular topics we've had. It's coming up on April 18th. As I said, swing over to the Learning Center at marapoling.com. You can register there. Don't worry about whether you're available on the 18th or not. Obviously, we would love to have you there live. regardless of whether you are there live or not, as long as you're registered for the session, you'll get a copy of the underwrite and a copy of all the other materials, and we'll get that out in advance of the session. Okay, I hope you found this week's session valuable. If you have questions about underwriting, please email me. We'll work on getting those answers into a future podcast, but we'll also include those in our session for the 18th so that that can be an even better session. And so pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. And please join me next week for another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling.